Greetings, Wargamers. We're your hosts, Trevor,
Jay,
Josh,
and this is
Shannon Attack.
Is sponsored by Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Incorporated offers the maximum discount on Privateer Press products. When you order $30 or more, you'll receive free or reduced shipping. You can find the web store at www.discountgamesinc.com. Welcome to Chain Attack, the War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm your host, Trevor, and I play Crucible Guard, I guess. It's been the holidays, so I haven't played hardly anything.
I'm Jay, and I think both Josh and I have had the contagion this entire decade, and so I don't play anything.
I will never tire of decade jokes. They're like the new next level dad joke to me. I'm Josh, and yes, I too have had some sort of infection for the entire decade. I still love Minions. My Valkyries are all painted now, thanks to my daughter having Christmas break.
I'm the least sick of the three of us, and I've also had a contagion for the better part of the decade.
Yeah,
so.
It's messed up. It's messed up, fool. Also, I played a lot of board games, just not in the city. Apparently, I can't play games in my own city. Maybe that's the new thing. I played Tapestry like three times while we were in St. George with my...
Really?
Family, yes.
Any further thoughts?
Yeah, it's freaking awesome. I want to play again. But I'm too lazy to play the single player. Like, I cracked my own copy, and I looked at the single player, and I'm like, oh, but then I'd have to think more. And so then I don't want to
do it. Yeah, I've never even read the single player rules.
They look interesting, and I've heard that they're quite good.
I'm sure they are.
Any other gaming standouts?
I got the Bloody Inn, which was hilarious.
I probably played it
like half a dozen times. The theme of the game is that you are a family running this like medieval inn, right? And your plan for wealth is to murder your guests and steal their stuff. Okay. And so you have to manage like murdering your guests and burying them. And if they're not buried when there happen to be police staying at your inn, then you're going to get caught and you're going to have to pay like a lot of extra money to the local grave digger to bury them faster so that you don't have time to loot them. It's just this, and it's pretty light, like it's a light card game, but we played it a ton. Like, be a great Halloween game.
I'm not sure your definition of light and mine are the same.
No, the theme is not light. The theme is fairly grim.
So, Brian had been wanting to play Villainous.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because of course
it's Disney. Yeah, right.
And so I read the rules last night and taught it to him and me and two friends.
I am so interested to hear your opinion.
So the pluses and minuses of it, the plus is that I do think it's really cool that you're playing this villain, and the way that you win the game, the way that you play the game is very unique to
that villain.
That villain.
Right.
And so I think that that's cool. That's well done. Really my main complaint with it is that one of the actions you can take basically hinders your opponents. And I don't tend to like Euro games where you're stabbing your opponent as much. And it's fine if it's a war game or whatever, but this is probably
pro stabbing in war games. Got it.
This is probably some of my own biases on the topic as well. But a common refrain anytime that I'm playing those type of Euro games is everyone will be like, oh, well, you need to attack Jay because he's going to win the game.
They're not wrong.
I mean, that's really the problem with that is that it's accurate.
So Brian won, which he loves the game now.
So now he loves it more than ever.
Yes.
So my only complaint about Villainous, I felt that it overstayed its welcome.
Mm.
It's too
won,
long.
He won fairly quickly.
Okay.
Well, and so
that's
we
good.
Didn't have that issue. But part of it was that, so he was playing Maleficent, of course.
Uh-huh.
And, his victory condition is to have like four, a curse out in each of the areas of his realm.
Okay.
And so he got his curses out. And like, we're learning the game. We don't know what's going on. And it comes back around to him. He's like, okay, well, I won. And, like, we had no idea that he was
about to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my issue is when I played, I may have made a mistake that I played with max player count. Like, how many people were you playing with?
How many does
four?
How many does up
it? Six? I think it does six.
Yeah, it can go up to six.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, maybe four is the sweet spot, right?
Yeah,
like,
I could see three or four being significantly better than
six. I was just like, oh my gosh, why are we still playing this? Like, I started out having fun, and then I'm like, what just happened? You know?
Yeah.
That describes
it. I would probably say three or four is going to be better.
Yeah. Okay.
Then we played Azul, and at the end of that, Brian was like, oh, so this is another game that I can never play with Jay.
Because you were just too good at it?
That was basically his. He's like, why are you looking at my board when you're making tile selections? And so I'm like,
no reason.
don't mind me.
Don't stress yourself.
Okay, so news and announcements. The important topic that everyone wants to hear is we have all now watched Star Wars.
Okay.
Oh, we're talking Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
There's a lot of Star Wars being watched in my life these days, Jay.
That's fair.
I am a few episodes into The Mandalorian.
I know. But, basically, we will do a Bojo on Star Wars.
Oh, on Star Wars. Okay.
Okay. Just Star Wars as a general topic.
Sure. Why not?
Okay.
Does that mean I can bring in the comic books too?
I think we're going to focus on Mandalorian and
that should give us plenty of
the current trilogy.
As a little teaser preview, though, I'm going to force each of you guys to give a letter grade for Skywalker.
You're a bad man.
Okay. You want me to go first?
Yeah, you're sure. Going first, because
are we doing pluses and minuses?
Sure. Yeah.
Of course you are.
Never. Rise of Skywalker, B minus.
I'm gonna have to go C plus. B minus is kind of what I was feeling a little bit, but I feel C plus. I need to see it again. I've heard that.
Can we go back just for a moment? I want to know what your rating of The Last Jedi is.
B minus.
You're saying that the Rise of Skywalker is worse than The Last Jedi.
I liked Last Jedi slightly more.
Okay, obviously you and I have a differing view.
Yeah. Also, part of the problem is I've spent the holiday with my brother, and so I now question all my views on everything because he's such a freaking grouch.
how did, like,
he despises this trilogy, the most recent trilogy. Like I've never seen a person hate so purely as he.
Well, I like it better than the 1 through 3.
I do too. Yeah, like the original is still the best trilogy to me. But I think that's because of when I was born, when I watched it. You know, I mean, there's some of that.
My issue with the Rise of Skywalker. Well, we shouldn't get in too deep into this, but basically, I feel like that there was. That it was two movies packed into one.
And
I feel like there's many of the things, like, it just feels like there's this wide just veer off for The Last Jedi, and then it comes back, and I enjoyed it, but it felt like it was rushed.
I'm probably at a B, maybe B plus, and my complaints are different than yours, but
I'm sure they are. I enjoyed it. I liked it. Looking forward to it coming out, but truthfully, The Last Jedi soured it so badly for me in so many ways that I'm like, it's hard for me to come back.
Actually, my biggest complaint about this Star Wars trilogy is that, like, there's things that I liked about Last Jedi.
Yeah, there are things I liked about it as well.
See, that's how I feel about Rise of Skywalker. There are things that I liked about it.
But the thing that makes me grumpy about the entire trilogy is that it felt like there was no one who had an overarching vision,
right,
for the trilogy.
Or if there were, they weren't allowed creative control
to pursue that vision.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyways, we will discuss that more in the Bojo.
In the Bojo, okay.
So, let's go ahead and go on to Community Builders.
All right. This week's Community Builders is on being a good online citizen. This is a post for official nominations for people who've shown excellent manners, composure, or citizenship in the greater online community can be posted here. So we had some excellent nominations, and we are going to go with a nomination made by Lewis Nin. And he nominates, man, I'm sorry, Jay, I will be spelling very quickly here. All right,
okay.
Stay tuned. He nominates Juris Aquietas.
Okay.
That's J-U-R-I-S.
That's also known as Brandon Owens.
Yeah, that's not his real name.
What? Freak. Fine.
You know everything I've known is a lie.
He says avid painter. Well, I can't believe the people aren't using their real names on Facebook.
It does say that you're supposed to.
My world has been shattered again. Okay, fine. Lewis says that Brandon is an avid painter and competitive player. He says he's not only active on the War Machine Facebook group, but also on the Riot Quest one and the Discord channels. When I started Crucible Guard, he was nice enough to talk me through how his lists work and deployment. Extremely helpful player in person. So I just thought that was a nice, solid example of somebody who is a good online citizen, somebody who's participating, who's making an effort to help other people as they're getting into the game or into other games.
Yeah, he's actively engaged in lots of different locations online. Yeah. It's a great nominee.
So there you go. So Jay, tell him what he's won other than his real name being revealed or whatever.
I have revealed that in the past,
okay,
by the way.
Fair enough. And you're saying I just have forgotten?
Yeah, I believe
which so. Is peak Josh.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be some Muse on Mini Zones.
Oh, exciting. We don't have new ones of those to talk about yet, do we, Jay?
No.
Oh, I'm so excited for more of those.
He did have a fair bit of work done on some Caterer ones, so I think they're going to be next. One thing that should be coming out quickly, I'm hoping, we're looking on potentially getting them licensed, even though they're not really, there's not really any reason that we have to, other than we think that it would...
There's not a reason that you have to license them, you're saying?
Correct, yeah. Okay. It would just potentially be mutually beneficial if we did license it, I think. But Nigel's done some really cool player boards for Riot Quest, where you put your player card, or one of the hero cards, in the dashboard, and then it has each of the actions that you can take during your turn with that hero. And so you can, and then it's 3D where you can put a dice in to cover up that action, show that you've taken it. So,
oh, cool. But as you're saying, that you don't really need to license them, but
yeah, it just,
but you will.
We'll see if they want it to be licensed or not. So, from Discount Games Inc., it's a new year, so you can go ahead and contact me for information on how to receive deals. Too good to be advertised.
I kind of missed when we called these the Voldemort deals.
Yeah. You can also, we're putting out a weekly newsletter now. If you go to discountgamesinc.com, there's a, down at the bottom, there's a place where you can enter your email to sign up for the newsletter. If you haven't liked the new Discount Games Inc. Facebook page, then go ahead. We also do our blog on the Discount Games Inc. site and our Twitter account at @DGI_main. So Josh, I feel like I need some dank dune-ness in
new
my
year,
life.
New year, new dankness, Jay.
Yes.
I was looking some up, and then I was so excited to discover that I had saved like 3 or 4 from a few weeks ago, and so we're going back in time. So this one is in the vein of a play on the name of the sandworms. There's a sandworm emerging from the dune, and it is entitled Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And it has a picture of Mary Poppins' face.
On the worm?
Correct. Yes. That is what I have for you, Jay.
Over the holiday, my wife and daughter made me sit down and watch. Mary Poppins made me.
Oh, watch the new one?
No. They made me watch The Sound of Music because I've never seen it before, and it's on Disney Plus because they
deep cuts ones. Here, Trevor.
Yeah, that movie's awful, by the way. they made my son, who's he's 8. They made him sit down, and he was watching it too. And we got to the second song, and I turned to him, I'm like, it's not going to get any better than this. I'm like, if you want to go, I will let you. So he took off, but I had to sit through the whole thing.
That show probably, that show gets a lot of legs out of nostalgia, I feel like. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, if you're a musical sort of person, I like musicals, but they need to be a little bit faster paced than that one. That one just, it's like your game. It overstays its welcome.
Well, if you want to make your life worse, do The Music Man next. The movie version of that.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah.
I do like musicals, some of them, but they need to be...
We hates it, my precious.
They've got to have at least a little bit of pace to them.
I mean, have you ever seen Chicago? Mm-mm. I'd be curious if you liked that one.
I probably would. I think that's more modern musical. Yeah. I don't have an issue with musicals. I just, some of them really, I like Seven Brides or Seven Brothers. I just, that Sound of Music was just so.
Yeah, so did slow. I. And that's why I thought, oh, let's watch The Music Man.
Shouldn't have. Way off topic.
I like the P.T. Barnum one a lot as well. Greatest Showman, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love Greatest Showman.
It's all right.
Don't get me wrong.
Okay. I will not get you wrong. All right, so let's dive into our topic. We're going to be discussing the dynamic update, much anticipated. So
when was the last dynamic update?
I think August.
Okay, so it's been about three months kind of thing.
Although the August one was a little small, right? Am I remembering that right? Anyway, doesn't matter. This one was lauded as being bigger.
Okay, well, that's probably true.
It is true that it's bigger than the previous ones, but I think for a lot of people, it's not as big as they had hoped.
So first thing in there is if you're in melee, you ignore the target in melee defense bonus when the point of origin of the Ranger magic attack is in melee with the model the attack roll is being made against. I think this is something that people
was this happening a lot
intuitively were doing, but
wasn't stated in the rules.
It needs to go hand in hand with the next one, which was Gunfighter is now extended to anybody who's in melee with you. So previously, if Gunfighter had a half inch range and you had 2 inch melee and you were engaging me, I couldn't shoot you back.
Okay.
Or I could, but there was the melee bonus penalty thingy.
Oh, okay.
So the two of them combined means that now that if you're engaging me at 2 inches, but I have Gunfighter of half inch, I can still shoot you.
Okay.
And not take a penalty. So anyway, they're kind of a whole package deal.
Okay. So the next one, the Infernal's Master Special Rule gains this sentence or replaces it to replenish its essence. During your control phase, this model can choose a friendly non-soulless model in its control range. I believe before it had a must in there, and it got to situations where like Regna could potentially sacrifice your
your caster. Fantastic. Not can, but had to.
Oh, yes. So had to.
Yes.
Well, I like that. Why did they change that?
Yeah, that seems amazing, by the way.
Thematic and, you know, slightly balancing. Dirty Infernalists.
So the next one, this one had already been pre-announced. You want to talk about the Gearheart stuff?
Sure. So we knew about this. I think we knew about this even before the August update, but it didn't take effect there. But basically, once per turn at any time during his activation, Gearheart, while within 5 inches of Mr. Clog, can use Arms Caddy. Before, he had to do it after his combat action, which meant that if he ran, he couldn't change his gun. If he didn't have a target, he had to shoot at something. It was kind of wonky a little bit.
He had to shoot something in order to then be able to switch the gun?
Correct. He had to take his combat action before, I think. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point being, now he can change the gun at any point, which means, thankfully, this is actually a little bit of a buff for him because now he can change at the beginning of his activation and then take 2 shots with the same gun, whereas before he would have had to take a shot with whatever gun he had last turn.
Yeah.
And then
swap.
And then swap and then shoot his second shot using Clog's
reload or whatever
it was. And with that gone, now you can switch at the beginning of the turn and get 2 shots of the same type, which can be pretty important on some turns.
Double powder ration is, I'm assuming the main change on this is that it has to be privateer models that gain the +2 range.
I think so. I don't recall him having to have that privateer part in it before, but I don't remember. It's been so long since I've seen Dougal. So okay. In Mark II, he definitely could target any Merc caster. or Merc model, I should
say. Yeah.
Although, does it still have the +2 to hit? Or is it just the +2 range now? Maybe I'm going way too far back.
Yeah, I thought it was just +2 range before. I thought it was maybe AoEs that might have had a +2 hit.
Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure my app is already updated, so I don't know what the old one is.
Yeah, it makes it difficult.
Oh, your app bar is already updated with the dynamic updates?
Yes.
So my pulling up my app to potentially look at the theme forces and see what the changes are is not going to be helpful.
Well, airplane mode.
Well, I mean, it's too late. I already pulled it up.
Oh, okay. we can move on.
Okay.
The Kador theme force, I'm pretty sure the change on this one was potentially broadening to allow you to take character solos in your with your merc. One, there were some Kador theme lists before that like you couldn't take.
Oh, you mean the Wolves of Winter change?
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't able. They were one of those early themes that weren't right. allowed to take merc lists because they felt like it would be too strong for them.
Oh,
right. And then okay. there's one in Signar down here as well that they made that change. And they kind of just got hit early with a, you know, just a unreasonable, you can't take mercs thing. And okay. that's been changed here.
So on. This is loosening that up.
Yeah.
Can you do the next one, Trevor?
Well, you skipped the protectorate theme force, so we'll go okay. back to that one, the creator's might. It says friendly models units can begin the game affected by upkeep spells, changing the second rule. The spells have to be declared before you deploy your models, and war casters in the army do not pay focused upkeep their spells during the first turn of the game. Unfortunately, I don't know what the previous benefit was.
I mean, it's almost like there was a reason why I skipped it.
Fine, be that way. All right, we'll go to the next one then. Anyway, I don't know what the previous creators might benefit was, but this seems like a nice benefit, whatever they had before. Maybe it's, I'm assuming these are buffs to theme forces, but that may not be true. The next one is a retribution theme force, Defenders of Ios. Replace the second special rule with the following. Before models are deployed at the start of the game, you can place one wall template anywhere completely within 20 inches of the rear of the table of your deployment edge. The template cannot be placed within 3 inches of an obstacle or obstruction, and the template is an obstacle that grants cover, obviously, since it's a wall. What did Defenders of Ios have before?
I assume this was a rhetorical question.
Yeah. I'll take I don't know for 1,000.
Son of a... This is the worst.
I should have...
I could have... They previously had design notes. This is our level of preparedness, I guess, but did they not have this time?
There are not currently design notes written.
There are design notes written for the Arcana change, the Harbinger change,
okay,
the bunch of the troll changes, and the Clockatrice change. However, there are no design notes, strangely.
Okay.
For any of these theme forces. Maybe we'll have to do... I almost said some bitter things out of my lips. I will not say those things.
Wait, okay. Improve.
We're not going to do any... I was about to say we would study up on this and come back and re-report, but no. The truth is we're not going to do that. I've not seen any major complaints for any of these, so I'm assuming they're all minor buffs on all the theme forces. I don't know any of these theme forces well enough to tell you what the change really is. And I did lie. There is no buff to the Signar theme force. So apparently Signar still got screwed.
Suck it, Signar.
So the next change is to Siege, which is a change to
Ground Pounder.
Because it's a bunch of individual attacks underneath the template, they added a section that says if you miss the model, you know, if it's in melee, you're not going to reroll against another model. They changed the Greylord
Attorney
Escort to a Kador Doom Reaver Command Attachment. I'm not sure what it was before. Maybe it didn't have the Doom Reaver part of it.
Probably not. I don't know.
And then Gareth Eye of Vengeance. His first storm, Perfect Storm, got changed to if this model uses its normal movement to aim, its control range is extended by 2 inches for one round. Isn't that what it already was? Is there just minor changing here of the words?
And I don't think it was. Let me see if mine's been changed. Yeah, I'm not sure. I thought that that's what it had been previously.
I'm assuming that that's only a minor wording change then.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about Burrow. Because this is going to affect both the Helldiver and the Burrowers.
Okay.
So Burrow 3, you can choose not to deploy this model at the start of the game. If it is not deployed normally, place the Burrow marker at the same time as your models with advanced deployment up to 20 inches beyond your deployment zone and not within 6 inches of another Burrow marker. At the beginning of your maintenance phase, after your first turn, you can place this model completely within 3 inches of the Burrow marker and remove the marker from the table. This model can begin dug in when placed in this manner. Additionally, it must forfeit its normal movement or combat action during its activation the turn it is placed into play. Then it mentions and add the following tactical tip. Burrow markers are small-based. Markers are not models. They are treated as gameplay tokens. When measuring from a burrow marker, measure from the edge of the base.
So this feels like this is a pretty significant change, right?
Yes, a very big change.
The only difference between that and the pig burrower's burrow is that theirs is a burrow 4, so they get to play within 4 inches of the burrow marker.
Oh, okay.
So what do you think of the change?
I think it's good. You know, one of the problems with the burrowers long ago, I mean, not the current version of them, was always trying to figure out, okay, if I burrow this turn, am I going to be able to come up next turn and be in a position that's important? And if I don't burrow this turn, am I going to lose too many of them? And you couldn't burrow twice in a row. So it was always like trying to figure out. And this takes all that problem out of it. It simplifies it considerably. You're not going to be able to re-burrow. You're just going to be able to come up in the middle of the table. It allows you to put the burrow marker in a position that's defending a point or threatening a zone or whatever it may be. And just say, okay, that's what they're going to deploy there at some point during the game. You're aware of it. I'm aware of it. And here we go. I like it quite a bit. I think it simplifies it and doesn't keep them fairly powerful because the burrowers are still going to be able to come up and potentially get back arcs, etc.
One of the things I would have potentially liked, and it probably would have added too much complexity if they were to add this thing, but it would have been nice if you could move the burrow marker like 3 inches around.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly helps. The problem is it feels like you can just, they can become immune the entire game at that point. If you're going to allow the marker to move, at what point do they have to come up?
Yeah.
Because if the marker just moves for the rest of the game, I mean, maybe move it once, something, I don't know. That's why it feels like it has to be fairly simplified.
It does. I think that the simplicity of it is likely more valuable.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask you, does it open up some, I don't mean this in a humorous way, but does it open up some design space for like future models that could do that kind of thing, like let a burrowing marker move, or?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Certainly that's an option, but.
But it's a crazy man's option, that's what you're telling me.
I don't think it does much for the unit, and other than add list bloat, I guess, and I don't know, it just doesn't feel like it's necessary. So I would like to see the burrowers eventually get a UA of some sort.
Yeah, that'd be nice. So what is next on the list?
The Assimilator, Ground Pounder change as well, so we can skip past that. Then Grimkin, the Desolation Arcana. Remove the word hill.
Okay.
Hey, there is like design notes after this.
Yeah, for ones we don't. Oh, there we go. None of the changes above reflect any balance changes, with the exception of the Grey Lord Escort gaining the Doom Reaver subtype. This exists so that the entire unit is now considered a Doom Reaver unit to benefit from the Wolves of Winter Theme Force benefit, but also means that this command attachment now benefits from buffs such as Fenris Leadership. A small change, but worth noting. Additionally, the Helldiver's Burrow ability has changed in function to match that of the Pig Burrowers, which is explained in greater detail below. So it says none of the changes above reflect any balance changes. So apparently...
So Gareth wasn't... How do you say Burrow is not a balance change?
Well, they're saying that Burrow is a change to match...
It's a change in function, not balance.
No. They're saying it's a change to match the other Burrow. That it's semantics, I guess. But they're saying that all these previous changes were just to fix wording or problems in the game. And the only reason the Crix is listed above that is because he's being changed because the Burrowers are being changed.
Okay.
So the real meat... The Harbinger of Menoth. Martyrdom. When a friendly living faction non-Warcaster warrior model in this model's command range is disabled, this model can suffer D3 plus 1 damage points to remove 1 damage point from the disabled model. This model cannot spend focus points to reduce this damage. So this is a change from the D3 that she previously had. And I will just... well, let's talk about it first, and then if we have any questions, we can go a little bit deeper into what the developer notes say. But do you believe that this is an appropriate nerf for the Harbinger?
So, I mean,
and do we want to get
I guess by the definition of appropriate, A, yes, I think that she needed a nerf, and B, I think that this
goes far enough.
Probably does a good job of drawing back her power while not removing her from as a competitive option.
You don't think this removes her as a competitive option?
No. So, but the like my real answer is like fuck the Harbinger. They didn't do nearly enough. Drop the hammer. Let's get this done.
So one of the comments made in one of the groups was that several of these dynamic changes were directly a result of things done in recent CIDs. And Harbinger is one of those things. That her power, she was nowhere to be seen, and then they ramped her up, and clearly that was too much, and now that's being brought
back
up.
When that Menoth CID, when they published it, like, we read it, and, like, we just started having immediate PTSD flashbacks of, like, man.
Mark 1 Harbinger?
Definitely Mark 2.
Why are we trying to make Harbinger a thing again?
Yeah, why are we returning to the things that we said we didn't like before? Yeah, I don't know. I definitely don't want to call it heavy-handed, because it's not. I don't know if this is going to keep her competitive. I think she might be more of a B-tier caster where you're going to take as an off-list now instead of being that main. And that's okay. Don't get me wrong. I'm perfectly happy with that.
Sure, yeah. I guess to talk about the side note on this is that, you know, it kind of feels like what people are saying is that they're kind of disgruntled that something that went through CID needs to be adjusted again. And, I mean, fair enough, I guess, whatever. But the reality is that it's still an imperfect process.
Very, very much so.
That is, in my opinion, if you look at the success rate or the amount of models that they got right that went through the CID, I think its batting average is very good.
I think the inherent flaw in the CID process is that the vast majority of feedback provided is provided by players of that faction.
Right.
With the biases that are associated with right. that. And until you get it into the greater community where everyone gets to see it and everyone gets to play against it, it's very hard to filter
there
that.
There are those chosen few factions that everyone hates that will get dogpiled on in CIDs.
In the CID.
I agree.
But, I mean, to your point, it's still a better process than used to exist, right?
Well,
maybe not.
I think it's in the right direction.
I do think the state that we're at right now, where the CIDs aren't super frequent, is probably good. I do think that it potentially had, you know, I think the fruits that came out of the CID were good as a whole, but I'm not sure that the impact that it had on the community was great.
I'm still a little disappointed with the way that existing models are handled with the CID. I like new models.
Only 90% of my Scorn models are overpowered at this point. We must have 100.
Go on.
I think that existing models probably don't need a CID. Sometimes it feels like they're basically building a new model from scratch. And that's fine, I guess, but if they're not doing that, if all they're doing is making adjustments, it feels like there's no need to go through a CID when we have plenty of data. We've seen the testing happen in games all over the place. Like, do we really need to give, you know, faction purists or faction evangelicals devotees an opportunity to, you know, state their case when it's in the greater meta already? We know what it does. We already have a good idea of what may need to happen to it. The new models that come in, I think generally those have been fairly successful when they came in flat, no preconceived ideas or notions about what it should do or what we want it to do. And those were play tested. And I would say, you know, I agree with Jay, for the most part, those came out fairly well. I mean, there's always going to be outliers. It's never going to be a perfect process.
Right.
It's just the way it is with human nature. So
it'll be interesting to see. I'm for most of the Menoth players I've been talking with, playing a, like, the Martyrdom is a complement to her strategy, but it's not the crux of her strategy, and it's not, like, doing one less Martyrdom a turn
is not a huge impact to them.
Isn't a huge impact on her power okay. level.
Feels like it's gonna be more than one
that she can't do.
Yeah,
maybe.
But regardless, I think that it was much more of her playstyle in Mark 1 and Mark 2 as far as what she was trying to do as the core of her thing. But right. the change to the way focus works now makes it very hard for her to be able to just flat stand in the middle and martyr everything. Yeah. So, I think that she's probably going to be fine. We'll still see her. Just hopefully a little less.
Okay, so now it is time for the Troll Bloods Balance Update. The Troll Bloods Balance Update is primarily focused on the Krill Company theme force and the model/units that will work in that theme. While there are other options in Trolls that may receive a balance update at a later date, our internal testing time and focus was purely on Krill Company, as it had not received its own CID in the past. So burrowers gain the new burrow and reduce the cost to 7 for 6 and 11 for 10, and the unit's rat goes to 5. So any thoughts on the burrowers?
Does the rat go to 5 from, was it 4?
4.
It was 4 before, yeah.
So it improved, okay.
My general impression is it still feels like it's going to be hard to fit these guys in. That even at 11 points for a full unit with the ability to essentially advance deploy with impunity and come up whenever they want, I still don't know that they're going to be able to do enough work to make them worth it. But maybe. I mean, their slug guns are still 11, power 14, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's still a lot.
11 points is super cheap.
It is. If you can knock a model down and get POW 14 shot on it a bunch of times, it'll kill some jacks or heavies pretty easily. I don't know, maybe. I'm warming up all of a sudden.
Maybe has been declared.
That's like a glowing endorsement from Trevor.
It's true.
He's
polishing off his trolls. I troll buzzer right now.
I miss the burrowers of old, but they were caustic to the game, honestly.
When did that ever
stop a model?
Yeah. Okay, so next one.
The pig lookouts?
Yes.
Change this unit's rat to 5.
Okay. So this is a...
These are the ambushers, right?
No. It's a 4-man as a min or...
6-man max?
6-man max? My stupid phone is blocking that part, but... Like, I don't know, man. Like, they say they're...
Performing as expected,
but... Like they have really ambush, played, right? Mark the target, and prowl.
This is where I channel my inner Triumph the Comic Insult Dog and say, for me to poop on.
They have, they're a Northkin unit. I'm assuming they must have been one of the releases in the Northkin wave. I don't know. I don't know why you'd take them.
So they're speed 6, they're defense 13, they're arm 12, they have advanced deploy, Pathfinder tough, military rifles, range 10, POW 11. They have ambush, they have mark target. And they have prowl. Their rat being 5 does not excite me, especially with a POW 11 gun. They're for 6 models, they're 10 points. So I'm looking at this going, why would I ever take these if I could take big burrowers now? So full turnaround. I love the burrowers all of a sudden because I'm comparing them to this.
We've gone past the glowing endorsement to the flaming poop endorsement.
I mean,
I'm not seeing a lot to be excited about there.
Performing as intended. Okay.
Alrighty then.
Next one.
Scatter gunners go up to rat 6, which is pretty fandango.
Yeah.
Officer's rat goes to 7, and they gain the ability Guns Blazing on the officer. Guns Blazing. This model can use Guns Blazing once per game at any time while in formation during its unit's activation. This activation, models in this unit can make one additional range attack during this unit's combat action. Hot burn a love. I'm a little concerned about them being able to get there, but once they get there, like rat 6, 2 shots clear, which allows them to shoot through their own shit and not hit it. I'm really liking the scatter gunners, although are they still really expensive?
Probably.
Well, especially now that you got to add an officer to them.
Well, you had to have it add the officer before. They are 14 for 10, and the officer is 4. So we're talking about a unit of 18 points for 12 total models.
So you're definitely never taking the pig lookouts, but you're taking the scatter gunners.
I think it depends on the list, but I can see a situation where I'm taking, you know, a row of heavily armored trolls in front and the scatter gunners are walking up behind and being able to, I mean, part of the problem is you've with that many sprays, we're talking about 22 potential sprays.
You're causing some hate and discontent there.
Well, you're also clearing out everything. Like you're only talking about 8-inch sprays. You're clearing everything out that's within range.
Mm-hmm.
But before you get to the 22nd spray, everything's already dead.
Right.
You're not using all 22 sprays most of the time. You've really got to get them spread out enough that they actually can hit enough targets to get that value out. So I feel like it would almost be better if you had a way to get an arm debuff, something where you could take those 22 shots and put them all in the same model. I don't know. What are you thinking?
What was the point cost again on the scatter gunners?
18 for full unit with UA.
That's spendy, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty spendy. But that's a lot of shots, and they're pretty resilient.
It's also been a unit that I've, in the past when I played Trolls, that I kind of liked a min unit with UA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, min unit is, it's a lot harder to kill everything within 8 inches before you get all your shots done when there's only 14 shots.
And I think I do like it, so at least I don't read it and go like...
Yeah, you don't go, ugh.
Yeah, oh, looking as, working as intended, interesting.
min unit of scatter gunners with UA would be 12 points.
Yeah, I mean, that's great.
Yeah,
that's not bad. And that's going to be like 16 shots, 16 sprays on their mini feet?
No, because 14. The okay. UA has a standard bearer who has
who doesn't have the gun. Okay.
Okay, so next one.
Thumper crew? Yes. Increase the range of this unit's thumper weapon to 14. The notes say a small change.
We'll come back.
We'll come back.
But after many internal games, we felt that the range of the thumper was just low enough that the gun felt a bit bit lackluster. So this is an extra 2 inches of range, which should help it engage a tad bit earlier.
Cool. An artillery piece that got more range and still isn't going to be taken.
Yeah, it's
true. Is it the one that pushes?
Slams.
Slams, yeah.
But it has momentum, so it slams a small or medium base. It knocks down a large base. I'm of the opinion that even with this 2-inch range increase, it's still too short. Like
14's pretty good.
It is pretty good.
You know, maybe I'm being too critical of...
artillery in general?
In general, you have to be doing something like the Dragon Breath rockets or something like that. And just doing damage isn't generally enough. Granted, doing slams or knockdowns could potentially be...
Well, the problem is generally they're only rat 5. They've got to move to be able to get in position to be able to take the shot. It's usually one that you're like, oh gosh, I got to have this 7. Got to move and be able to hit that 12. Woo! I got to need that 7. And you're like, okay, this is my 5-point activation. It really's got to happen. I mean, truthfully, the problem is that we look at these things and go, well, 14-inch range and a knockdown shot, that seems pretty amazing. Until you start thinking the logistics at the table and how it actually works. And it's like, okay, now I understand that this isn't going to work and I'm not going to play it anymore. And I feel like all the artillery maybe needs a little bit more range just because to keep that in mind, to get it to actually hit and be effective, it's got to aim. So anyway.
Well, the 2 inches definitely...
it is better.
Helps with that. So
I don't think it's good enough. I agree with Jay. It's not going to get played still.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so scouts.
This unit's thrown axe and axe weapons gain grievous wounds. So the design notes basically say they were trying to find some way for these scouts to define themselves.
So scouts are a unit of 10, a unit of 6 for 10 points. They're speed 6. They're rat 5. They have advanced deploy, ambush, pathfinder, and tough, obviously. They're on medium bases. They have thrown axes, which are range 6, that are power and strength 11. They have gang. So when they're making a melee attack against a model that's also in the melee range of another model in the unit, they get +2, which is very hard to do when you only have 6 models. They have hunter, so they ignore concealment and cover when making range attacks. They have prowl, so they gain stealth while they're in concealment. And their axes obviously are thrown, which gives them the ability to, if they get a strength modifier of some sort, it gets added into their thrown damage. I'm still not excited about these guys. I don't care if they got grievous wounds. It doesn't matter.
I mean, there's going to be the issue is that there's matchups where that's going to be really important.
But then why aren't you playing?
But then there's going to be matchups where it isn't. And then also in the matchups where they're really important, they're not that hard to kill.
Not with only 6 of them.
Yeah.
And like I said, I like the what's the theme force where they got the remove from play? Sons of
Band of Brothers?
Band of Brothers, that's the one I was thinking of. I mean, why wouldn't you just be playing that one instead, I guess?
Oh, so that you have it more widespread.
Well, I mean, that one, I'm trying to remember if that one gives grievous wounds as well, but it definitely gives remove from play. Let me look it up really quick. But I'm just not seeing a compelling reason to take them. And that's the real question is, is there a compelling reason to take them? Band of Heroes. Models disabled by melee attack made by a Trollblood warrior model in this army cannot make a tough roll. When a model is boxed by melee attack made by a warrior model in this army, you can choose to have the box model removed from play. Most situations, that's going to cover what you need. The Grievous Wounds isn't really going to change much, especially not on a unit that's got a range 6 weapon with assault.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess the Grievous Wounds is nice. It's a nice buff. Thank you. Appreciate it. Still probably not going to take them.
Yeah. So next.
The Dire Troll Blitzer. This model gains shooting gallery, meaning it gets +2 to range attack rolls against models within 5 inches of it.
I like this buff. I do. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
The Blitzer's 15 points. Only rat 5, but becomes rat 7 against models within 5 inches of it because of this. It has dual attack, so it can still go in and punch and then take the shooting gallery shots. This feels thematic.
So it takes it from a rat 5 to a rat 7 when it's in close firing that gun, right?
Correct.
That's kind of what happens here.
Yeah. It makes it feel more thematic. It makes it feel more interesting. I like this buff quite a bit.
Okay. So
I don't know that the Troll Blitzer's going to get played much, but
yeah,
I can at least see situations now where I'm thinking, oh, a Blitzer might work there.
Okay. So next one is the Bomber.
Bomber was 18 before?
Question mark.
I think it might have been 19 before.
Yeah, possibly.
It's down to 17 now. Bomber was fine. Bomber's great. The point cost has always been the issue.
Right. It's still...
Still feels expensive. I think we're always going to have this problem in this world where jacks are super cheap and beasts cost more because of their animi and their ability to take additional attacks. And
the beasts are always going to feel...
Yeah, they're always going to feel a little expensive. But the Bomber, even at 17, still feels... And the truth is like, if I start thinking about it, I'm like, well, at what point value is he appropriately costed? And...
You can't give us a good answer.
I'm not sure I can, yeah. Certainly, if you get him too much cheaper, then it becomes too good. Maybe the right answer is just one more point at 16, but we'll see. Maybe this is okay.
Yeah. Okay, so next one.
Dozer and Smig is the next one. The cost of Dozer and Smig has been reduced to 17 as well. His bombard attack loses inaccurate and gains high explosive.
Whoa.
I think that this is an interesting change, and I feel like that this is a change that might need to happen on a lot of characters. The fact that characters are all a single model, there's only one of them you can take, and there needs to be a compelling reason to take them in comparison to their cheaper equivalent models. Inaccurate was strange. It was a character beast. Why is it inaccurate? I mean, truthfully, this is Dozer and Smig is supposed to be the character Blitzer? Question mark? Or is it a character Bomber?
I thought it was supposed to be a character Blitzer, yes, but I don't know that.
I mean, he's kind of a combination of the two, but character Blitzer. So 2 points higher than the Blitzer. Is it worth that 2 extra points? I think that's the key question that most of the characters in the game probably need that question asked of them. Character Warbeast Warjacks. But I think that the inaccurate thing was kind of dumb. I mean, you got a character here. I don't want to spend a bunch of points on a model that's going to miss.
Right.
Right.
So Dozer and Smig now have Lucky Shot, which will take them to Rat 8 on their own shot, and then they can boost that shot. Range 14, AOE 4, POW 14. They have a...
now with...
boosted damage rolls on gun when they're with Gunbjorn. All of a sudden, this model is starting to sound compelling to me, especially with Gunbjorn.
Yeah.
The Slag Troll changed the text of the Acidic Touch Animus to... The spellcaster gains +2 to melee damage rolls and immunity corrosion, and its melee weapons gain the continuous effect corrosion. Acidic touch lasts for 1 round.
Sorry. I just love that this animus was changed in Mark 3 to the shittiest thing ever from this.
Oh, really?
Yes. And we've finally come full circle. And they're like, yeah, we were wrong.
Mistakes were made.
It was so bad before. Like, I don't even know why you would ever... have used it or taken it. It's just dumb. And now it's actually, I'm not even sure you're going to take it now, but at least now that animus is worth using. And that's loosely, I mean, before it was targetable, so you could put it on whatever you needed to. Now you still can't do that, but at least he can put it on himself. I mean, before the animus, if I remember right, it was give target weapon corrosion. It was something, and immunity corrosion. It was something completely and totally worthless. Anyway.
Now it is.
It's so bad that they took it away from the Aridus that had it.
So now it is only of questionable worth.
And, well, there's only one model in the game that I know of that has it now, and that's now the Slag Troll. So it's not going to get played. This isn't going to change it. But at least the Animus is not complete and total bunk now.
Right. Okay. So thoughts overall on the troll adjustments?
I thought you'd see Krell Warriors in there.
That would have been nice.
Since Krell Company was the focus.
Yeah.
Maybe the Krell Warriors aren't the issue. Maybe it's the surrounding cast. I don't know. I think that they've completely ruined the caber throwers, caber tossers. So
yeah.
I just, that unit, at its core, I think it's probably okay, but it feels like some of the peripheral rules around it need to be adjusted, and I'm surprised that it didn't happen here. I think that a lot of these rules are good, and you're going to see some of these models, but a bunch of them aren't going to make very big impact.
Yeah, I mean, there's changes I like. I'm a little worried that it might be, like you said, that they're not necessarily going to be super impactful.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Hopefully I'm wrong.
That's the problem, is that you're at the end of the day, what's important is, are these going to make impactful changes for the quality of life for troll players? And I'm not seeing too many of these that actually are. The one that I do think might, you might see more of is the burrowers, because they allow them an opportunity to get to the fight, stand in the middle of the table, and not take shots on the way in. And they're a cheap unit. So
right. Okay.
Should we talk about the clock just now?
Tell us. Yes.
Go ahead.
I just want to know what you think about it. That's all. All right. We're replacing the Text of Time Star with the following. Once per turn, when one or more of this model's aspects are crippled by an enemy attack at any time, except while it's advancing, immediately after the attack is resolved, place this model anywhere completely within 3 inches of its current location. And the Death Gaze Paralysis ability is replaced with Slow, which just says a living model hit by this weapon has its base defense reduced to 5. Slow lasts for 1 round.
So you asked what my opinion was on it. I think they're good changes. I think that it makes it so that, you know, the time stutter was one of the things that aggravated people the most. And it feels like someone can still play a 6 Clockatrice list and have it be good.
How many times did things trigger twice?
Oh, it happened.
I know, but I mean, it wasn't every time. I don't know. I do think that these are nice debuffs. I just don't know that they're enough.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't feel like anyone should feel like their Clockatrice purchases have been invalidated.
Oh, I do. I want them to feel like they should toss them all in the garbage.
No,
that would be a major concern. I said, right?
I was saying these changes shouldn't make you feel that way.
Right, I know.
Yeah.
I want them to feel that way. I want another round of debuffs.
I understand.
I want them to feel sick to their stomach that they wasted all that money.
Troll Bud Lover is a troll.
So you're worried that it might not have gone far enough, Trevor?
I don't know. It may be enough. It's hard to say. I have not played with post-debuffed Clockatrices to tell, but in my games against them, this wouldn't have changed anything. I don't feel like these changes would have made any impact. So still would be just as tough to kill.
Yeah.
Still be just as painful when they spray me down. Still be just as painful to try to tie up or kill. The problem is the amount of their cost versus their output. And the first stutter, truthfully, I rarely triggered the second stutter because the first stutter screwed me over so badly that I couldn't get any more damage on them.
Right.
I don't know. I think the only way maybe the change that I would have approached rather than stutter being once per turn was making the stutter less distance. I mean, if it's only 2 inches, now he stutters, but he can't get out of melee of my reach heavy.
Right, yeah.
So now he's got to stutter twice and able to get away. Or I have to, and now I have to account for that. You know, I can't take in half inch melee stuff and be able to kill it.
Right.
But at least I don't have to worry about, you know, it stuttering away the very first time and me not even being able to finish my activation. But, you know, whatever. That's not the change they made. So this is the change that I will have to deal with.
Okay. Well, do you have a dad joke for us, Josh?
Well, Jay, did you hear that McDonald's is trying to get into the steakhouse market?
I did not hear that.
Yeah, it's a big mixed steak.
You know, I have to admit, Josh, I am highly disappointed in you.
I'm ready.
It is 2020 and you have not made a vision joke. yet.
There's so many of them.
I know, and they're all fantastic, and you have failed us completely. I'm apologizing right now to all the listeners because of your lack of 2020 vision.
My lack of foresight?
Correct.
All right, well, I have no idea what we'll do next episode, but it's going to be effing amazing.
Hopefully we won't be coughing as much.
The decade-long plague will hopefully
yes.
be finished. Excellent. Well, on that note, we'd like to thank everyone for listening to another episode of Chain Attack.
Chain Attack.
Chain Attack.